Hi, I'm Charles Antis, and I am 57 years old. Today's date is December 12th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Fred Hill, who is the original founder of the original Ronald McDonald House in Philadelphia back when he played on that fabulous football team back in the mid-70s. And I'm super excited that we get to do this interview here in Irvine in California today, because Fred and I are good friends, and I only know him because we have this common story, and that is we had a need to be close to our critically ill children at different times in our life. And today, we get to talk about this. And before I let Fred start talking here, I just want to say how excited I am that we're doing this, that we're partnered with Five Points, and we have a chance to tell our stories, because we believe if we tell our stories, and if they're heard in the true essence of how they occurred, that we could possibly shift somebody's view on everything forever. And I know I think big, but this man is one who has done that. Because of him, families around the world have a place to go to be next to their critically ill children at children's hospitals, including here with CHOC, with the partnership with Ronald McDonald House in Orange County. So Fred, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, except I'm 76.
You're 76.
But I look better than you.
You do. You look really good today because you are a silver fox.
No, just kidding.
The photo comes with this.
Yeah. You never know what could happen, you know, by just talking and people find out about it. And that's what happened to me. It was 1969. I was playing with the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was the last preseason game, and I just ripped out my knee. It was really bad. I came home in a cast, and my wife said that my daughter Kim was in the hospital. She was 3 years old, and she was diagnosed with leukemia, and they only gave her about 6 months to live. And we were devastated. I just kind of forgot about football. And then it was just this long, you know, very difficult time in our life. She went through chemotherapy for 3.5 years, and it was every single day to the hospital. We had a place to stay about 45 minutes, but most of the people that were with us.
You had a place to stay.
Well, yeah, we lived in New Jersey, and it was about 45 minutes to St. Christopher's, the hospital there. And it was hard on all of us. They say when you have a child that's sick, the whole family's sick.
It was hard because you were so far away just to go visit.
It was far. You know, in our case, it was only 45 minutes. But when you're getting chemotherapy, there might be like 5 or 6 other families there. And some of them come from 100 miles away. And they had no place to stay. So they were cooped up in their cars. They were getting food out of vending machines. They didn't want to leave the hospital. And especially in the wintertime, it was very difficult. And so we wanted to help, but didn't know how to help. But, you know, when you're going through that, you only think about your child and nothing else. So for the first few years, that's all we did, and that's all we could manage. But then people were saying, since you play with the Philadelphia Eagles, you could really help us. And so I did one little fundraiser. It wasn't much. It was at a bar, and the guy said, you know, if you could bring a couple players down and have a couple drinks, we'll give you a part of the bar tab, and you could give it to the hospital.
How much did you make that night?
About $200.
That was a start.
That was a start. And yeah. And so then there was this lady that contacted me from the Leukemia Society of America. And she said, you know, you could really help. And she was a little bit aggressive, but I found out later the reason why is she had cancer. And they didn't give her that much time to live. And she said, you know, you could really help us if you could do a fundraiser. And you know, things happen that you never expect. We had another Eagle wife.
Did you hear that? When she said that to you, you could really help us. Did you hear it yet?
Yeah, I heard it, but I didn't know what to do.
You thought you could, though. You thought you could help.
Well, my wife did. I didn't.
And your wife, Fran?
Yeah, we've been married for 55 years, but we've been together for 70.
How come
she was my neighbor.
How come you refer to your wife as your sexy little teenager?
Well, that's how I remember her. I mean, you know, she was 6 years old, and so we went through elementary school, junior high school, and college together. And
you guys, when you're together, I'm going to get you back to the story, but you act like a couple in love getting ready to go on their honeymoon.
She's my best friend and my only girlfriend. I've never had anyone else. And that's unusual.
Fran got to speak with you at a National Roofing Contractors Association event this last year, and you, Fran said something in that I posted online. It was powerful because she said, you know, we were transplanted away from California, and there was no Ronald House to keep us near our sick kids.
That's true. We were 3,000 miles from home, and all the relatives are back here, so we had no help. We did have friends, and they were really helpful. But basically what happened was, you know, I didn't know what to do. How are we going to raise money for Leukemia Society of America? But what happened was there was our offensive guard from Washington. His name was Jim Skaggs, and his wife was Diane. And she went into Haddonfield, New Jersey to buy a fur coat. And when she was there, Harold Winger, the furrier, said, Diane, if you could get 10 of the Eagle wives to model fur coats and put on a fashion show, I will give you a $2,000 fur coat that you could raffle off to your favorite charity. So all of a sudden, she comes running in to see Fran and tells her the story. And they said, well, maybe we could do this for the Leukemia Society of America. So then we start planning. And that was hard because I didn't know what to do. How can you put on a fashion show? But we had some nice neighbors. And we had this one neighbor, Stan Lane, that really wanted to help. And so we just started meeting in our house. And we secured a restaurant in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And then the big thing was to get the Eagles there. I knew I could get 10 because their wives were going to model the fur coats. So I went to the Eagles and I told the team that I'd really like them to come. It's for the Leukemia Society of America to fight leukemia. And to our surprise, Fran said, why don't you ask the owner, Leonard Toth? And I was always negative. I said, no, he's not going to come. And she says, why don't you go talk to him? So I did. I went into his office. I said, Leonard, you know, I got this fundraiser going, and we got some of the Eagle wives that are going to model. We'd really like for you to come. To our surprise, the entire team showed up. Leonard Toth showed up. Leonard was the last to leave. So here's something we didn't plan, and it turned out to be a great success.
How much did this one
raise? It raised $10,000.
That was real money.
Yeah, you talk about 19, it would be 1972. Yeah. That would probably be about $1 million today. Yeah, and so we were like shocked. And so it didn't stop there.
Then you saw, at that point, did you realize that you could make a difference?
No, not until we talked to Leonard.
Okay,
Leonard had a few drinks, and he was in a great mood, and he called Fran and I over to his table in Stan Lane and said, how much did you raise? And we thought it was over, $10,000. He said, you know, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. We had the whole team here. This is what I want to do. I want you to come back next year, and I want you to raise 10 times this amount. I'm going to give you the Eagles. I'm going to give you Vet Stadium. I'm going to give you anything, all my assets. You just tell me what you want, and we'll come back next year and make 10 times that amount. So now it hit us.
Okay, so I'm going to fast forward because I know this some parts of the story. And by the way, there's so many. We could do this for hours because there are so many fun parts of the story. But I want you to fast forward to that next year, I believe it was, when they're passing the hat in the stadium. That's a funny story. I want to hear.
Well, first we wanted to see. We didn't know what to do with the money. Now we're thinking we could raise over $100,000. So what are we going to do? So we thought about another fashion show, this time at the stadium. So we went back to the furrier, and he said he would give another fur coat. And then we got the Eagle Wives secured. And then we decided, what can we do to raise this money? So someone mentioned pass the hat at the game. And we said, God, I don't know if we could do that. Well, put it down. So another thing was, why don't we have a radiothon?
Pass the hat at the game.
Just like at church. Just like at church.
At a football stadium with 50,000 folks passing the hat.
Yeah, it would be basically just like church. The problem we had was we had a container, and we put a lid on it because we thought they would put coins, and we had a coin slot. That was the biggest mistake we made. But we thought the people of Philadelphia, they might throw hot dogs in there or whatever, you know. And so then we had to determine how to do it. So the way we decided to do it was we had the Eaglettes, were our cheerleaders.
Yeah.
They were at each aisle with a trash can. And then we had the smaller container passed down to the end of the aisle and then dump it into the big container.
Yeah.
And then pass it to the next row, just like a church.
I mean, the visual on this is impossible.
We were also waiting for a big play.
How much communication? Did everyone know what was going on? Was it clear to the fans what was going on?
Yeah, Jim Murray, our general manager, you know, helped us plan it with Stan Lane. And we were going to wait for a big play, but we were a really bad team back then. Yeah. In fact, we set a record in 69. We lost 12 consecutive games.
Wow.
And yeah, well, we made it worse. O.J. Simpson was coming out then.
Those are some of the better stories today, though, the famous stories. I mean, you have both, and I love that.
Well, we won our last two games, and we lost O.J. Simpson at the number one pick in the NFL. But anyway, we had to pass the hat, and We had coin changers because the banks wanted to help us. So we had Continental Bank. They brought 5 coin changers, and we had it in the basement. And so, you know, it'd make it easy to count the money. We didn't expect everybody to put dollars and $5 in. And in order to get it through the little slot, they had to crumple the money up and then push it through the slot.
That's some time counting money there.
So they started bringing the money in down at the floor of the of Veteran Stadium, and the big trash cans were turned over, and the money was a foot high on the ground. And we got $25,000 in 10 minutes.
Were you able to announce it to the crowd?
We did announce it, but it was a guess because it took us 3 days to count the money because we had to uncrumple every single dollar.
When you announced it, was there a good reaction?
There was a great reaction.
What you're saying, because you have this – so we're going back many years. How many years? 45, 50 years.
45-year anniversary this last year.
Congratulations. 45 years ago, it's just a novel concept of passing the hat like they do in church but for a nonprofit. When you fast forward today and you see the way the millennials are in the world, a lot of their giving is through more so in through nonprofits like Ronald McDonald House than it is through church. There's a shift occurring, and I find it interesting. People congregate where they find a common good message, where the story, where they're aligned with the message. And everybody that is here at Ronald McDonald House, and I think the reason you're such a symbol that people look up to, is we all agree with you that it is unimaginable to ignore sick children. And I think that your story really brings that home. So after the $25,000, $27,000 raised, I want to get to the part where you go and you present, you have this money. I think we're almost there.
Well, actually, it was before we had the money. Okay. Stan Lane and myself, we went to our doctor. And our doctor was named Larry Naaman, and he was at St. Christopher's. And so we went to him and we said, you know, we might be able to raise over $100,000 with the help of the Eagles. And rather than give it to a society, we would like to give you the money so you could buy things that you need in the hospital. We weren't thinking at the time, Ronald McDonald House.
We have this ability to really help, but you don't know yet how you're going to help.
Right. So we went to him, told him how much we might be able to raise, 10 times what we raised the year before.
Your doctor.
Yeah, and he was unbelievable. He said, you know what? Children's Hospital in Philadelphia is brand new. They need the money more than we need it. I'm sure his director there would have loved to have the money. But he said, why don't you go talk to Dr. Audrey Evans at Children's Hospital? And so unannounced, Stan and I went over to Children's Hospital, and we knocked on the door of Dr. Audrey Evans, the head of hematology, and told her our story that we might be able to raise, with the help of Leonard Tost and the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe $100,000. What do you need? And she was the one that came up with a list. And on the list, the first thing was finish the hematology wing at $1 million. And then she had other things, isolation ward. I can't remember everything on the list. But down at the bottom of the list, she said, you know what we really need? We need a house close by where the parents can stay, because this is a regional hospital and people come from 50, 100 miles away, sometimes even overseas. They have no place to stay in Philadelphia because all we have are big hotels here and they can't afford it.
Had that ever crossed your mind before, that it was possible to have a facility that you could be that close to Kim?
Not really, not me. But when Fran heard that, she says, "Oh my God, that's exactly what we need." And she realized it right at the start. So now we have to go back to Leonard Tose. Uh-huh. Okay, now we have the list. So we go back to Leonard Tose and said, "Leonard, you know what you said a year ago? You said you'd like to come back and raise 10 times this amount." Some of the other things that we had planned.
Is Leonard the guy that we met in Chicago at the International Expo that we got to wear the ring?
No, that was Jim Murray.
That's Jim Murray.
He was a general manager.
He's a general manager.
Okay, but Leonard, awesome. Leonard passed away. But if it wasn't for Leonard, none of this would happen.
Still alive.
She's, I think, I just saw her at the the 45th anniversary.
In Philadelphia.
I think she's about 94.
And by the way, let's hit that. The 45th anniversary was just 2 months ago in Philadelphia.
Correct. Right? Yes.
And you were able to go, and I was not, and I was really jealous that I wasn't
able
to go.
You know, it was kind of neat. They had a stand up with Stan Lane and kind of tell the story a little bit because he really helped so much. But anyway, the other things, we had a radiothon, and as the money came in, it would be posted on the scoreboard, the big scoreboard. And you could see it from his suite at Veterans Stadium. And that's where we had the fashion show. It was in his suite. You could see the scoreboard. We had the radiothon. And back then, you had a 40-man team. It's not like today. I think they have 55 or something. And so we wanted to have every ball player have a phone. So any little kid or a parent or anybody that wanted to talk to their favorite player or their favorite Eagle, they could call him up and talk to him and give a donation. And then as the donations came in, it would be posted on the scoreboard.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, we called them.
That's kind of like.
Yeah. Well, we call them bird calls because we were the Eagles.
Yeah.
So here we had the bird calls. We had, and you asked, how did the people know? We announced it to the people. Okay, but there were other big helpers back then.
So it was clear to people that the fans were into this.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you, to clear it up a little bit, NFL Films was stationed in Philadelphia. So our fundraiser, my neighbor and I, what we did, we formed Eagles Fly for Leukemia, a nonprofit organization, went through all the paperwork and everything, and it was just from an attorney that we played basketball with. Mm-hmm. So we formed Eagles Fly for Leukemia, and we told Leonard Tose that. So NFL Films was there, so we started raising money for the hospital way before the Ronald McDonald House, okay? We were raising to complete the hematology wing.
Right.
And so NFL Films did little quick shots that were really neat. We had a wide receiver named Harold Carmichael. He was 6'8", and they would actually show him in a game scoring a touchdown, then he would spike it, and then they would show his face, and he'd go, "Let's spike out leukemia."
That's cool.
And we had a middle linebacker named Bill Berge, and Bill Berge would come up and just rip some guy.
I would love this.
And then he said, "Let's rip leukemia." So we're raising money for Leukemia Society of America.
Is there any way we can get clips of that?
Well, to give you an idea,
I would love to see clips of that.
They actually made
our capital campaign. Just to pause right now, Fred is on the board with me at Ronald McDonald House, Orange County, and I am actually the co-campaign chair along with Katie Rucker to double the size of the house because we need to raise our capacity from 22 rooms to 45 rooms. And we are very excited to report that we've already raised 8.2 of the $12 million, but we're still looking for that anchor sponsor. And
yeah, you know, a lot of people think that McDonald's owns these Ronald McDonald houses, and they don't. And they're great.
15%.
Yeah, they oversee and make sure that they're run properly and that all the money goes to the Ronald McDonald House.
Well, let me back up to that's great that you mentioned that because you are a McDonald's owner, you have a franchisee, you own multiple restaurants, and I love it because I do know this about Ronald McDonald House and about McDonald's. Neither one of these two great organizations would have the impact they do. McDonald's is feeding 1.5% of the food we consume in the world. And its stability is partially there because of its alignment with the community, because all of us care about our children. And I think it's brilliant both sides. And I, as a board member of Ronald McDonald House, I'm really grateful for that stewardship that we get from McDonald's Corporation. But I want to go back to how McDonald's got involved and the Shamrock Shakes.
Yeah. You know, Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, he always tells the operators when he was alive to give back to the communities that are so good to you. And you know, our operators in Southern California are incredible. Even though, you know, the corporation provides and looks over the, you know, each store or each Ronald McDonald House, but that's 15%. But the owner operators give a lot of money on their own.
Of the $8.2 million that we've raised so far, I'm going to guesstimate, this is directionally correct, $3 million of it is from owners like you who are sharing their profits of their franchise store.
Yeah.
It's, in fact, I think we unanimously have every franchisee in Orange County.
Yeah, we have great operators in Southern California.
Thank you to these awesome operators.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to, you know, the first house. So we did the big fundraiser, and we raised over $100,000. We passed the hat. We got another $25,000. And basically, I left and came to California. I had retired from football. And so it kept going, and they kept raising money and raising money for the hematology wing. In fact, they would have players inside the empty hematology wing, and the NFL Films would show that, advertise that on TV so people would give. And it was a little bit like the movie Rocky. Anybody seen the movie Rocky? They saw everybody in Philadelphia, you know, cheering Rocky on. Well, they started doing that with, you know, Fly for Leukemia. And so you had Little League football teams and baseball teams and Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. How can we help? How can we help? So the money kept coming in, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then actually they paid for the... This is Eagles Fly for Leukemia. So they paid for the hematology wing. It's called the Eagle Wing, and it was $1 million.
In addition,
oh, they've raised millions.
That we were also involved in so many other things early on.
So they completed everything on her list, Dr. Audrey Evans. But then McDonald's wanted to get involved, and they wanted to do a promotion. And it was on St. Patrick's Day, and it was the green shake that we have now at McDonald's. And so they came.
This was when it was conceived, the concept
of the green shake, yeah. And it was for the whole Delaware Valley, because Philadelphia is right on the corner of Delaware and New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So you just cross a bridge and you're in Delaware. You cross another bridge, you're in New Jersey. So it was all the Delaware Valley, all the McDonald's in the Delaware Valley. So I don't know how many that would have been. Right. So they took a picture of Roman Gabriel, our quarterback, and Bill Berger, our middle linebacker, and they put
before
it.
Before he was a Ram, Roman Gabriel?
Well, he was a Ram, then he was an Eagle. But anyway, they put pictures of them into every restaurant. And they said they would give 25 cents on every green shake. And they looked at the list, and the last thing on the list was the house. And according to Jim Murray, they said, because I wasn't there when they named it, they said, we will pay for that house under one condition. And Jim Murray, I says, what was that? And he says, if you let us call it a Ronald McDonald House. And Jim says, well, you can call it Hamburger Heaven, whatever you want. Just give us the money.
Okay, so, but that is a great story. I mean, imagine the impact of that moment, of the brilliance of that moment to make that ask that we're going to do this, but let's attach our brand to it. I mean, that was before anybody did that. That was before that was really a big thing. Corporate social responsibility were not words that were conceived yet. And so I think it's a remarkable
But you remember I said the key people were there in Philadelphia. And if you think about it, you have an owner. And as soon as Kim got sick, he called me into his office. And he said, Fred, I will fly you any place in the world for treatment. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. If you want to be traded, I'll try to work out a trade with the Rams so you can go back home. But we liked our doctor. We said, no, we like it here. We'll just stay here. But he was willing to do anything. I don't think there's too many owners that would let you pass the hat at the game,
right,
and let you have the stadium, let you have his team to raise money.
So all this is going on, and there's all these amazing Dr. Evans, if not for her expertise to frame this, it wouldn't be. There's so many other passionate people, your owner and all Leonard Toast, all these people with all this passion. But I want to also pause to recognize that none of the people have this passion without the story. And the story is you in the moment being authentic and saying what's happening. Like, look, you're raising your hand back maybe before people raise their hand, and you're saying, we have this problem. We're willing to make it a little bit public if we can help my daughter. But my point is, Fred, without your story, without Kim's willingness to and her whole life, this thing doesn't grow and touch every corner of the world. And I really want us to, and I love that we're, again, talking about story, because your story shows up everywhere. We tell it everywhere. And your story is the one that makes sense. There needs to be we have to put a face on this. We have to put a face of those that we want to heal. And the last thing I want to say, because I can tell you're ready to talk, is that's made all the difference. And today, you go everywhere. You go around the world. You go at, I think, nearly every Ronald McDonald opening. You go, when I ask you to go to the National Roofing Contractors Association meeting, you didn't care which state it was in. You said yes, and you and Fran flew there, and you did a talk show in 100-degree heat. You're willing to do anything and everything. When I ask you to go to Camp Ronald McDonald House with the Roofing Alliance, you said yes. You hung out with our former CEO. You say yes to everything, and you lift everybody you touch every day. And I know you're humble, and you don't like to hear that. But it's, I mean, can't you see that? Doesn't it feel good to be Fred Hill?
I don't look at it that way. I feel that Fran and I were just the parents of a really sick child.
Yes.
And Kim was the catalyst that got this going. They saw this cute little three-year-old
yes.
that was going to die. And they say, how can we help? And not only us, it was the right people. When I say the right people, just think about this. First of all, you had NFL Films there, which was key because they filmed it all.
And that was huge.
This was a six-bedroom house.
That was like Saturday morning.
It was
in D.C.
Yeah, but it was a row house, little six-bedroom house. It didn't really cost that much, but it was really needed. But for some reason, they filmed it all. And then they didn't stop there. When they built the second one 3 years later in Chicago, they filmed that one. And they actually made a movie about it. They actually filmed about the first 14 or 15 houses. And they filmed the camp that they had one step at a time in Chicago. And they also went to Canada. And then they came back for the opening of the second house with Kim. And why did they do this? And you know who the voice was? John Facenda, the voice of the NFL. Yeah, he had the big, deep voice. But he was our newsman. But you know who else was big, important in that time? Ed Renzi. Ed Renzi was a regional manager in Philadelphia at 26 years old. Very young.
Regional manager of?
McDonald's. That made the deal. Okay.
He's the one that said,
but you know what happened to him?
No.
He becomes president of all McDonald's.
Wow.
And so when they opened the 100th McDonald's in New York, he got up and they had Kim there. And he said, you know what?
How old was Kim when she was there?
She was probably a teenager when they opened up the 100th house. She was in remission. After 3.5 years, they took her off chemotherapy and she was in remission the entire time. But Ed Renzi, now the president, he said, someday I can see, we have 100 now, someday I can see we could have 500 Ronald McDonald houses. And look now, we got, 268? And we got 4 or 5 being built? I mean, this is incredible that he had that vision. So you had the McDonald's people that became president. You have John Facenda that became the voice. You have NFL Films. You have an owner that's just unbelievable. In fact, what happened was they continued to pass the hat. And so I left it. And you said, I was shy. I don't like to talk in front of people, even though I'm talking now.
Well, you do now.
But what happens is they wanted me to come back for the second house. And this was an old mansion that everybody thinks is the first house today. And they just added on to it, by the way. It's 127 bedrooms. It's a beautiful old mansion with this beautiful new addition. It's 127 bedrooms. So anyway, they have us come back. And they have Kim, who's a teenager, my wife and I. And they have the mayor of Philadelphia. And they have this big thing going on. And they had the game. And so they said, Fred, we want you to come to the game. The only sad thing was I had all my kids out there and they were spiking it with 65,000 people. I put the film in wrong. It was a new camera and I didn't get any of the pictures, you know, like a one-time thing. And Jim Murray said, and, you know, I'm scared to speak. He said, you have to talk to all the people. I said, what? He said, you'll see right before the national anthem, I want you to address the people. And I said, well, what am I going to say? And he said, just come out here. And so here I am in front of a microphone, 65,000 people up there. And, you know, I don't know what to do. But then all of a sudden, you know, those big checks, it came out for $250,000. And it was from passing the hat all the years I was gone. Because they continued to do that. He said, Fred, just say thank you. Yeah, so they, you know, all I had to do is just say thank you, you know, for, you know, for all your help. Yeah, so it became a great thing. But it just keeps growing.
Because we've talked about Kim, and that's why we're here today. We wouldn't know each other without though I've never met Kim. I would like you to tell the listeners about Kim. Tell her about her life. And because we have it, and I think we can go back.
Yeah, Kim was so cute at 3-4 years old. Very active kid, you know, that would just climb out of her crib, and you had to find out where she was. In fact, one time she climbed out of her crib, opened the door, walked down the stairs, and was playing in the sandbox. We didn't even know where she was. And she was always like that. And then she came down with this disease, which was really, really hard. She was 3. And it was 3.5 years because all the kids were dying, so they didn't know what to do. And it was really hard on us, especially my wife. She would drag Kim and our other 2 in for treatment. And, you know, it's outpatient. You'd have to be there 2 or 3 hours. And there'd be about maybe 3 or 4 other families getting the same thing done. And then all of a sudden, it's like you, Charles, say you were one of the families. You weren't there that day. It's like, oh, I wonder where Charles is. You didn't hear his daughter died last week. And it was just a terrible. But anyway, she went in remission. She stayed in remission, but they gave her radiation at that young age. She did great for 20 years. She went to Capa Valley High School in Mission Viejo. She ran on the cross-country team. And I coached her 1 year in bobby sox and 1 year in soccer. And she was doing great. She went off to college. She had a little boy named Andrew. And everything was fine. And, you know, after 5 years, you finally cancer-free. You're just thrilled. But the kids that they gave radiation to all came down with brain tumors. So this is an amazing thing if you think about it. We have 6 houses here. You know, we have, they're all under the, we have here in Southern California under the same umbrella, 6 houses. So we have the LA house, we have the Orange County house, we have the Loma Linda house, we have the Long Beach house, the Pasadena house, and the Bakersfield house, the camp and 2 family rooms, all under one umbrella. So here, Kim, she opens the LA house in 1980. In fact, in 1979, she was with the Rams. They kicked off the opening of the house because all the first houses revolved around the NFL. So she took pictures and had the groundbreaking ceremony in 79, cut the ribbon with Ronald and opened up the LA house. She also helped open the Orange County house and the Loma Linda house. And so what happens is all of a sudden she's working at McDonald's and she can't remember things. And she has this headache.
How old was she when she started
noticing this? She was probably in her mid-20s. If Fran was here, she would know exactly.
Sure.
And so what happened was, we said, well, let's take her to Mission Hospital and see what's wrong. So they did a CAT scan. And they said, oh my God, you got to come in here tomorrow morning. And we said, what's wrong? She has a tumor the size of a softball on the right part of her skull. She has a tumor the size of a golf ball in the front part. We're going to have immediate surgery. So now you got to decide, where are we going to do this? Who's going to do it? So we're looking, and there was a doctor at Children's Hospital at Chalk and St. Christopher's, or not St. Christopher's, but the hospital there. And we decided to use him. She said, do you think we could stay at the Ronald House that she helped open, you know, several years before? And so we called them up and they said, absolutely. So all of our relatives wanted to come. They didn't know what to do. It was a 10-12 hour operation. We didn't know if she'd even make it. So we all met at the Ronald McDonald House. We spent the night before there. they had a little chapel there. We prayed. We took her in early, and then we all just stayed at that house. But you know what the amazing thing is? Not only is the house close by where your relatives and everyone can meet and stay, you have other people going through the same thing. My wife was a school teacher. She taught kindergarten. And to her surprise, one of her mother helpers on one of the children that she taught was in the house at the same time. And she had to have a bone transplant from her brother. And her brother was in my wife's class too. So we stayed in that Ronald house for a week with this other woman that my wife taught the kids going through almost the same thing. And so not only did we not have to leave and go get food, we got a good night's sleep, even though we were like really worried, but we could spend all of our time just concentrating on Kim and nothing else. And that's what these houses do. They allow you to forget about where you're going to stay, how much money is it going to cost, food, transportation. It's all taken care of you. You just concentrate on that kid. You know, she did, you know, my wife took a leave of absence from school, and she loved teaching. She taught at Ambule Elementary School in San Juan Capistrano, and she was never able to go back. It took 20 years, and the tumors kept coming back every single year, and she lost the use. We hate to even talk about it, but she lost the use of her arms, her legs, and she went blind. She was 44. But the last 20 years, it was like constant treatment and surgeries. And actually, a few operations down, we asked to stay at the L.A. house. And we actually stayed at the L.A. Ronald McDonald House
and
twice.
I've heard a lot of stories about her in those years still being involved with you and still opening up McDonald's and doing. You guys did a lot together. I want to point out that we have that in common. You know, my brush with Ronald McDonald House is simple. And I have a really good outcome. I have twins that are five-year-olds, Charlie and Gracie. They are really healthy. But when they entered the world, we went from a happy pregnancy to critically ill twins. And we were running into Chalk Children's Hospital every day because they told us to come twice a day and lay those kids on our naked chest. And if we did, that would, keeping them that close would heal. And we did that every day for 4 weeks until they were released. And that's where I had my brush with Ronald McDonald House, and my story's not so involved. I actually tried to avoid you guys because you represented something that scared me. Every time I heard a whistle go off on one of those incubators in the NICU, it was like, oh my God, the threat of my children. And every time I passed by that Ronald McDonald House station, I would see families struggling, and I wouldn't pretend it wasn't happening to me. But what happened was one day I showed up to go do my skin on skin, and I was scheduled to do it with Charlie. But as I walked in, I had really bad chronic heartburn, and I wasn't going to be able to do it because this can be so painful. And I looked down, and there was no Ronald McDonald House volunteer at the station. And I saw a little green Nature Valley granola bar, and so I reached down and I stole it. I say I stole it because I wasn't planning on paying anybody back, and it was about 20 cents, I figured, at Costco, but I needed it. And as I sat down and set Charlie on my chest, I remember this feeling I got that my stomach was settled, and I didn't think about it a lot for a while until later on when I got involved with Ronald McDonald House. But that's it. Whatever it takes to keep us close, and we have a chance to heal. And it is a miracle that it happens this way. And that's why Kim's story, I know it's hard to talk about some parts of it, but it is such a beautiful story. And you, when I see you, I've never met Kim. I met you not long after Kim passed. However, I see Kim in your face. I see Kim in your smile. And you guys are Kim. You're as close to Kim genetically as anybody on earth. And I think that your story is such an important story, not only for Ronald McDonald House, but for businesses in general to see how having an authenticity and presence and intention in everything you do can help you succeed and be heard by your people inside your organization and outside your organization. I didn't mean to get all philosophical right there, but let's go back to today. Like, what's your involvement today? You own how many restaurants?
Three.
Three restaurants. Yeah. I know that keeps you busy.
Well, that came many years later. Basically, what happened was how we got re-involved, because now I'm 3,000 miles away. And you remember, it started off slow. In the first 5 years, there were only three houses. And it took 3 years for the second house in Chicago. But what happened was these houses started coming, you know, like 10, 11, 12. And so what happened was McDonald's called me and they said, would you and Kim go to North Carolina and help promote the Duke House at Duke University? And I first said, no. I mean, how can I help? There's no way I can help. And they said, Fred, it would really help if you would go and take your daughter, Kim. And she was probably about 12 years old. And so we got on the plane. We went to North Carolina. And they sent us to three different cities, Durham, Raleigh, and there was one other one there, the biggest cities they had. And we just went to a newspaper and said, hey, we have Kim Hill here. She was the inspiration for the Ronald McDonald House. We're opening the house at Duke. Would you like to interview her? And they said, yeah, let me see if I can get a reporter. She was probably about 12. Uh-huh. And so we did that. And then we went to the news and said, we got Kim Hill from California here. She was the inspiration. Would you like to interview her? And all of a sudden, the next day, we were in all the newspapers and we were on TV. Yeah. And so they said, hey, this was good. And then that was the first time I realized, you know, I might be able to help promote these houses. So all of a sudden they called again, said, you know, we're opening a house in Tucson. Would you and Kim go? We're opening a house in Milwaukee. Would you go? And then they said, we're doing an NBC special and it's when we're going to open up the Fresno house. And this was kind of neat because Daryl LaMonica helped out. You know, he played with the 49ers up there. And, so we all went there and we opened the Fresno house and they interviewed Kim. And what she said, McDonald uses today, she said, you know, but she was healthy then. And it was before the brain tumors. And she said, you know, I didn't enjoy being sick. But in a way, I'm kind of glad I did get sick because through all my suffering, a great thing came from it. And that's what happened with these Ronald houses.
So I'm going to skip ahead because we're going to run out of time shortly. How many houses are there in the world today?
You know, it keeps growing so fast. We get reports. But I've been telling everybody as of a couple months ago, it was 306 houses in almost 50 countries. But there's over 200 hospitals that have Ronald rooms. Sure. And we also have Caremobiles. I don't know if you knew about that. Caremobiles. And they're in like 12 countries. And these are like big motor homes that do dental and pre-screening.
The impact is virtually everywhere and always growing.
And then we have camps. And we have, you know, One Step at a Time in the Chicago area. And then we have Ronald McDonald for Good Times in Idlewild.
I've been there. It's amazing.
I remember, this is the first one of the first times I got to know him because we drove up together. I couldn't believe it. We go to the camp. The first thing he does, he climbs on the roof looking to see if there's any leaks.
We had so much fun. Well, I want to quickly tell that I want you to send a message to the roofing companies across the country. Over 200 companies, the best and the brightest and the biggest companies, have raised their hand to volunteer roofing services on all of the 165 Ronald McDonald houses in the United States. And it's our first ever nonprofit partnership. You know, I was very involved in that along with Bill Good at the time. And right now we have a tremendous group of people that are volunteer to do that. And I love it. I love being part of the story. But what could you say to all these roofing pros across the country?
Unbelievable. I didn't even know you had a group like that. You know, we went to this conference that they had in Arizona, a great conference. And can you believe that these roofers adopted every house in the United States, and you always have roofing problems. Yeah. I got problems right now with the last rain that we had. So this is a tremendous amount, and even on new construction, too. I think they helped out a lot on the Philadelphia house.
Yeah, we did. And it's a fantastic thing. Thank you for being all in and saying yes to everything I've ever asked you to do to the roofing community and locally. And also locally, again, we are 3.8 million away from being able to double the love and double the house, and we're super excited about that. Do you have anything, Fred, that you'd like to talk to?
Well, I would like to thank all of our volunteers. It's amazing. If you think about it, we have a little 20-bedroom house, which is very small, and we have almost 800 volunteers. The houses would not be able to make it without the volunteers, and they are the nicest people, and I've seen them all over the world. Not only do they give back, not asking for anything in return, it just makes them feel good. And, you know, that's what makes everyone feel better. And I know it makes you feel good because you do Habitat for Humanities too. And when you help other people that are really in need, it just gives you a good feeling inside.
It's the most amazing transformation you can ever have in your life. It often can be tragedy that gets us there or difficulties that get us there. But when you get a chance to get out of yourself and spend time on other people, I don't understand what it is. A lot of people have theories, but it's night and day difference. When you make your stories not only about you, but yeah. about other people. And you've done that in your life. Is like you are such a role model of me. I seriously look up to you. I love you. I love your wife. And I'm so grateful that you live here and that you shine. You allow the light to go to so many places. You are like a tree. You are full of life. You shine. So thank you.